Hello, 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 and welcome to My Empty Hands, a podcast about the martial arts with a focus on Kenpo. As always, I am Reggie Darden, and I am excited to be chatting with Lori Lewis today and getting to hear her story. And we've actually, you were probably one of the first people that I was going to have on, but, you know, schedule and life and everything gets in the way, so... We worked it out and here we are. So we're gonna talk some martial arts. We're gonna talk some Kenpo. We're definitely going to talk some Benny Urquidez. For the listeners, she's got a nice little poster of the man in the back there. And we're gonna definitely get into all that good stuff. So. Go ahead and fill us in on how your martial arts journey started. How did the martial arts find you? And we'll just get right into it.
Well, hey, Reggie, it's so nice to get to talk to you, and thank you for having me on. I've been fascinated with sports since I was a little girl growing up in Chicago. Everybody's into sports in Chicago, you know, so it's kind of a given in a way, but I was particularly obsessed with the Chicago Cubs. 64, so my era had, maybe you're a little younger than me, but you might know some of the names. Ernie Banks, who everyone called and still calls Mr. Cub, Ron Santo, and, you know, Glenn Becker, and all these guys they were more than heroes to me. In Chicago, you grew up with sports, and it's like they're your family, you know? We would go as kids to the ballpark and get their autographs. And this is back in the day when, you know, you didn't have to pay to get someone's autograph.
Oh, yeah. No, I can definitely relate to that. I had a experience with that very recently. I know all about that.
They all loved Chicago, and they were so good to us kids. And I can't even tell you how many times I got Ernie Banks' autograph, you know. And I'd take my little scorecard down to the wall. And I always had my Cubs hat plastered on my head, you know. In fact, I'm surprised I don't have a ring around my head to this day. I always had it on, you know. And my room as a kid was, first of all, my brother helped me. I have four brothers, three older. And my brother, who's really the handyman, like, he painted my walls in my bedroom Chicago Cub blue.
Oh, very nice.
And then built, back then it was like a waterbed frame without the waterbed. My family just put my mattress in it. But my mom got this shag fur blue carpet, so it looked like Chicago Cubs.
Oh, yeah. No, you're bringing back all the repressed memories. I actually had a bed frame until I was an adult. So.
Well, that I was just fortunate. My brother Larry built that for me, and then I had a balloon-shaped baseball lamp hanging in the bed that said Cubs, and then every inch of my wall was plastered with Cub paraphernalia. Even just I'd take the pictures out of the newspaper every day and plaster them on my wall. You know, and it's just, you know, I just loved those guys, and I wanted to play third base like one of my heroes, Ron Santo, for the Cubs. And I, at the time, you know, it wasn't as easy for girls to be in sports, you know. And in fact, it was the era of the Battle of the Sexes with Billie Jean King and Bobby Rigg.
Yeah.
I think that's the tennis player, yeah. And everyone was, you know, talking about these things all the time. You know, can girls play sports? Should girls play sports? And it's like, you know, you had this kind of hanging over you, but I just did it anyway. I mean, I would play. I'd get up in the morning, I'd like look through my baseball cards, right? And I would come home from school. In fact, at my school, my grade school, we would play at lunchtime. I went to this little Lutheran grade school. I went to school from kindergarten to eighth grade with the same eight kids. And we got to play at lunchtime, and sometimes my teachers were so into it, we would play all afternoon. It was so fun, you know. Just everything was wrapped around sports and music for me as a kid, you know. And I wanted to do that so badly, but I did become a professional singer and a radio DJ. Okay. So I got to sing opera. So I got to take that to a level. I sang with San Diego Opera for probably about 5 seasons. But I came to that later in life after I had a radio career. I just, at 47, I just decided I'm going to sing opera, and I had a big voice. So went into that. So that was pretty exciting, getting to be on this massive stage, and one of the top 10 opera companies in the world at the
Very
time.
nice.
So that was pretty cool. So here I am now, in my 50s. Now I'm 64, like I said. But in my 50s, I met this trainer who happened to be a Kempoist. And, he was like a 6-degree black belt. And as I was training with him, I said, "I want to learn Kempo." And he's like, "No, you don't want to learn Kempo." I'm like, "Yes, I do." But he made me like pretty much, wait a long time. And then I only got to do private lessons. He didn't really have a dojo at the time. So that was American Kenpo, and I did that for years with him. But I'm going to tell y'all the real story, okay? Because
Ooh,
I'm
I like
all
it.
about, I'm all about. Let's put this out here. I won't say names of people, because my
Okay.
purpose is not to hurt anyone, but I always hope that my own story helps other people, So this guy was such a narcissist. And I know that word gets thrown
Oh,
around a
that
lot.
never happens in Kempo. What are you talking about?
No, right? Yeah. So I, like, again, I won't say the name, but not only that, but okay, so my husband, well, he was a rock star, seriously. He was on MCA Records back in the day in a big hair band. Do you remember those? You're kind of young
Oh
if you
yeah.
said.
Oh yeah. No, I definitely listened to a lot of that stuff back in the day, so.
So the band was called Femme Fatale, if anybody's interested, and you could still see him on YouTube and stuff, But and then he, when he quit the music business, he became a PhD physicist. Well, not like overnight, that took a little while. So we were in, had a big house, right? I mean, it was really large, but we had moved to this other state from California. And it was like, what? This only cost how much? I don't know if you know California prices, but excuse me while I drink some water here.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I'm from San Diego, so so yeah, I know all about that. Just real quick before we kind of get more into your story, I'm curious what was the thing that so you mentioned that you always were interested in sports, but what was the, I don't know, the catalyst for martial arts?
Well, okay. Again, I was in the era, one of the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali. And so I was fascinated with boxing, right? And, I would goof around. I'm kind of small. I'm 5'4". Maybe now I'm like 145 pounds. I've never been, big, and people wouldn't think I was strong, but I was strong. It's something about boxing just really, like, captured me, I just love the physical movement of it. So when I started doing Kenpo and having some of that in it, just felt so good in the body, It's like all that movement, there are similarities to me to throwing a baseball, which I love. Just that physical movement. And the more I did it, the more I'm like, this is like the coolest thing ever. And the more I did it, the more I wanted to do it. And even though I've been through some pretty big bumps in the road, I love it,
Yeah,
So.
no, I can relate. So, I saw a certain movie, and well, I guess going back, I've always been interested in martial arts. and grew up watching Black Belt Theater, Kung Fu Theater, all those kind of things back in the day, and Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan and Shaw Brothers movies and all of that. So I was, you know, always hooked. I didn't get a chance to do it, even though I pestered my father for many, many years. I didn't get into it until I was a teenager, and kind of going back to what you mentioned with Muhammad Ali. So, you know, I can't verify this. I can't say it's true or not, but my father claimed that he was a bodyguard, one of the bodyguards for Muhammad Ali. And at the time, the other guys that were training in martial arts were getting popular, and he says that they were talk about, oh well, like, you know, I can, with karate, I can, you know, rip a guy's heart out and show it to him before he's, you know, dies. And he said that they always talked about killing and stuff, so he had this idea that karate and the martial arts were this killing art, and so that was his excuse to not let me join. But yeah, I was just always into it, once a buddy of mine got involved, I had to do the same, and even though I couldn't train, I was at the school every day from when they opened till they closed, and I'm just watching every class. And then my friend would on the weekends, my friend would give me the little download of what he was learning, So that satiated me until the day that I could actually, you know, officially start my training. So, but yeah, just everything martial arts, any movie, if somebody did a kick or a punch, whether it was a martial arts movie or not, I was like, oh, I got to watch that. I got to wear out all my videotapes and all that. So yeah, I can relate to just being hooked.
Well, I got to mention one of my best friends in the world, Ray Scott. He was the first African-American to win NBA Coach of the Year in 1974. Okay, and the reason that I bring him up, and I'll tell you about his book in Amazon, it's everywhere, really, but he was good friends with Muhammad Ali. And so I've got to hear a lot of really cool stories. He was great friends with Wilt Chamberlain and Aretha Franklin. He's got quite a story, but he's one of the most humble, intelligent, you know, good people that I've ever known. And he's 83 or 84 now, but read his book. You got to look at his book. Yeah, it's awesome. But,
very nice. Yeah, well, I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah, it's the NBA in black and white is what it's called. So he does a lot of history. It's really cool, you know. So,
very nice.
Yeah. Oh, and we got to mention Chuck Norris, too. I mean, I just remember even in my 20s, you know, going to, what was the one, Missing in Action?
Missing in Action,
Is that the one where he comes up out of the river with the knife in his mouth?
Yeah. It's been a little while. I got to kind of slap myself. Other than Sidekicks, it's been a little bit since I watched a Chuck Norris movie, so I'm going to have to brush back up on his filmography. But that's definitely one of the good ones that he's got out there. So getting to the, you know, you found this Kenpo teacher and got started. And so kind of how were the, you know, these initial classes and how did the training go for you? And
well, it was really fun. Like I said, he only gave private lessons. He didn't have a dojo at that point. I guess he had, you know, over the years, different dojos, but so it was just, I'll tell you the story is that every time I'd get close to testing for my purple belt, bad things would happen. We had this huge house, I was starting to tell you. It was almost 7,000 square feet, and we had a basketball court and a swimming pool and all this stuff, right? So we thought, well, if this guy moves in, he'd be like a security guard for us because he was like 260-pound, you know, 50-degree black belt. Then we could trade and do karate lessons, and he could protect our house. Well, yeah, he was just, you know, very manipulative. And I think I'm finding lots of people are reaching out to me, Reggie. A lot of people have had stories like this. You know, I'm not the only one. And he would just kind of manipulate me and stuff. And he knew I wanted to do Kempo so bad. And so we finally, 2 years ago now, finally got rid of that guy. It sounds funny, but it's like, yeah, we left him, you know, in another state. And so then I kept doing Kempo in another, you know, organization. And, you know, had a lot of fun, but now I'm moving on. That was kind of a disappointment for me as well, and I won't go into details about that. But now I'm probably going to be doing American Kempo under Mr. John Sepulveda's organization.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Yeah, he's such a great person, and he's been so kind to me. I met him like maybe 10, 11 years ago at one of those, you know, conferences and kind of Hall of Fame events that I went to. And so I think his system is called the American Kempo Training System. I'm pretty sure I might want to double check that.
But, yeah, that sounds correct to me.
And I'm going to also be, we're moving to Los Alamos, New Mexico in about 30 days.
Oh, very
nice. We get to work with Mr. Kevin Conan Bankins.
Yes, very, very nice. As we're recording here, I haven't released his episode yet, but I did get to speak with him, and that was a good chat. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that one put out. But
well, he's amazing. He not only, you know, he does do Kempo, but he's got multiple black belts in jiu-jitsu, and he just got a black belt, he might have told you, under Royce. However you say Royce Gracie, but
Hoist,
it's not.
Yeah, Royce Gracie.
Yeah. And did you get into his story, like all the tragedies and stuff that that guy has been through and overcome?
I'm sure we've touched on a lot of those parts. It's actually been a little bit since I've got to listen to his episode, but yeah.
Multiple things, like he's a massively strong guy, you know, and but he was jogging down I got to tell you, because he's so inspiring to me. He was jogging down the street in Santa Fe, and someone like a sniper shot him between the eyes.
Mm.
And he has lost, and he's told this story. It's not like I'm telling something, but he only has 50% vision in one eye. But the guy's like this expert marksman, like gunslinger kind of guy, right? He's done movies like he did with, you know, Matt Page, Master Ken, who's also been a great inspiration.
Yeah, we definitely talked about that a little bit, for sure.
Yeah, the movie Cop versus Killer. And so when I feel sorry for myself with anything going on, I think about what I call Mr. Conan has been through, and I think, man, that guy, he keeps working harder. He's 55, and he is just like, I don't know if you could be in better shape, you know. And so I'm so inspired by him and really thrilled that we're going to get to do all kinds of martial arts with him, you know. And I do want to talk about Sensei Benny too, but now I have a new challenge to overcome. I have some physical issues going on. And it's the first time in my life, Reggie, that I've had pain. I've been very healthy up till now. And I have high blood sugar, and I was bad and let it go, and I think I have neuropathy. I'm getting into the doctor this week, and I'm having this just major pain and like trouble balancing and all these things. So I have days where I'm feeling really discouraged, but other days I get up and I go, I'm going to do the best I can to work out and to be as strong as I can. And I've got to tell you, martial arts motivates me to want to overcome and to want to be healthy so that I can do it, you know? And so people, I will have people write me a lot because I tell my story. But they sometimes think you've got it good and they don't. And I know people have challenges. So now it helps me relate more to people who are trying to overcome. And I collect stories. I see stories every day. You know, a young man with a walker, you know. And but he's doing kata, you know, and it's like, okay, if that doesn't motivate you to get off your butt, I don't know what will.
Yeah, no, definitely. I can definitely relate to that. I have some health issues of my own, and I've definitely had some times where I thought, you know, oh, I'm not going to be able to do martial arts anymore. But you know, just sticking with it, and you know, not only talking to people, but you know, just doing what you can. Listen to your body. Listen to the docs, and you know, educate yourself what things you can do, what you can't do, where that line is. For me, and just getting older and listening to my body and realizing that not all the things I used to be able to do I can do now, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop. We just keep going and we work with what we have, and there's so many things, not just in Kenpo, but so many other arts, and exactly. That there's something for everybody to do, and there's no limit. You know, the only limit is what we put on ourselves. So just getting out there and doing it makes all the difference.
You know, Kenpo is so great at, you know, tailoring things to you where you're at. If there's an art, if you're looking at, you know, wanting to get into martial arts, I think Kenpo is a good art. So, for instance, I might not be able to kick you upside the head unless you're on the ground, but I can take your knee out, you know.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's no, like, manipulate the height, width, and depth. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's so many inspiring people that I've met in my journey. Like we started talking about Sensei Benny Orquidez. And his wife, Sarah. I mean, they're just such wonderful people, and they are the real deal. You know, I've been around them now multiple times and, you know, get to communicate with them a little bit, and they are who they say they are, you know? They live that. And I love how healthy they are. I think Sensei turned 73 this last summer. And my favorite thing is I asked him, I had the mic at this live event, and I said, Sensei, you know, can you still do that spinning back kick? And he said, am I breathing?
Yep. Exactly. You know? Exactly. It's kind of like when people say, oh, you know, am I too old to start martial arts? I said, you're too old when it's 10 minutes after you're dead. Then that's, right. That's when you're too old. So.
I run into people all the time, and I do tend to be like, you know, a little mini evangelist for, you know, martial arts, but I'll say that I do martial arts and stuff, and I'll tell them, you know, how old I am, and it's like, oh, I just turned 49, it's too late for me to start. I'm like, did I just mention I'm 64?
Yeah, it's never too late. I mean, was at a seminar with Bill Superfoot Wallace, and yay. You know, he's I'm gonna mess up his age at the moment, but I mean, he's over 70, and
I think he just might have turned 80, 79 or 80.
Yeah,
I thought I saw.
Yeah, I believe so. Amazing. So, you know, he still can go. I mean, go into full side splits, no problem. Wow. Almost 80, and he just. Here I am down on the ground in a full split, and it's like I got to stretch for like 3 months before I can even get close to that. So, yeah, there's age is nothing but a number. So.
And Reggie, tell me your experience, but it's like I'm finding so much of it is a mental game, you know. And Sensei Benny talks about that. He's like, he wakes up thankful and say, I get to spend another day with people that I love, you know, and you know, some days I'm hurting more than others, but it's like, you know what? I'm going to do whatever I can. Maybe I'm going to walk a mile or two today, if that's all I can do, you know, and maybe walk through katas or something, you know, where it's not, going to be so taxing. But then another day I'll go out there and I will beat the heck out of the heavy bag, you know? It's like I tell myself, no, I'm not going to let this win, you know? There's so many quotes that we can, you know, share with people, right? I'm sure you have some of your favorites, you know, but it's like, it's not how many times you get knocked down, but how many times you get up. I love that.
Exactly.
One.
Exactly. Yeah, no. Exactly. I mean, anytime I need some inspiration, you know, I throw on a Rocky, specifically Rocky IV. I don't know. I don't care who you are. You watch the training montages in that movie and you want to train. I challenge anyone to watch that movie and not be like, hey, I gotta get out on the mat and get some training going. So, I think we all need a nice 80s montage music and some scenes, running on the beach or something and to get going. So, go ahead.
No, I mean, there's inspirational movies, you know, outside of martial arts as well. I mean, I love Rudy. How many mm-hmm. times I could watch Rudy, you know, it's so inspiring. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Breaking Away comes to mind. So that's a really good one too. So I'm curious, you know, even though we're you know, focused on Kenpo, have you explored any other arts at this point, or are you looking to get into any other arts as well?
Yeah, with Mr. Conan, Kevin Conan Bankins, it's Bankins Mountain Martial Arts in Los Alamos. And let me tell you, that's only a town of like 10 or 11,000 people. It's up above Santa Fe. It's gorgeous. You know, the National Lab is there. But his school is jam-packed. I'm like, I don't know where all these people are coming from, but he's a blast to work with. So he started teaching us the beginnings of jujitsu in Zoom lessons, right? I mean, we're stretched on the floor and stuff, but I'm fascinated with it. I mean, I would like to learn. And I think Aikido, however people say it, is fascinating. I think it's a beautiful looking art. I'd like to, you know, learn a little bit about that. I love wrist locks. Is that weird? Or arm locks?
No, you are preaching to the choir here. I'm a big fan of that. As we're recording here, For those that may or may not know, unfortunately my Kenpo school had to close recently. My instructor, he's still going to work with us on, you know, doing private lessons and semi-private lessons and stuff. So I'll still get to continue my Kenpo training, just kind of at a little kind of reduced rate. So I decided to use this opportunity to kind of branch out a little bit and kind of see what's out there to kind of what would get my training fix satisfied. Yeah. So I've been on a little world tour of martial arts schools in my area, and I've been to just about all of them in the last couple of weeks. But so I did do some Brazilian jiu-jitsu and some other arts, Kyokushin, some freestyle karate, some Muay Thai and everything. But I may be hitching my wagon, at least for now, to a Hapkido school. And I've done Hapkido before, so I figured, well, this would be probably a good time to get refreshed up there. But out of the schools that I had visited, this Hapkido school and a Henzo Gracie Jiu-Jitsu school were kind of at the top of the list. So we're still kind of deciding which one to go with. But it's just been a fun ride figuring it all out.
Muay Thai, that's how you say it. I feel like such a newbie still in martial arts, but Mr. Bankins does that, and man, his kick, I'll tell you what. What did they say? He did a video with Master Ken, where if you look it up, Kevin Conan Bankins with Master Ken, they do this demo of Conan's kicking, and they said his kick was 1,800 pounds of pressure or something. It's scary. But he also does judo. And you know, so I do want to explore a little bit of all those things. I mean, why not, right? It's fun.
Yeah, definitely getting, you know, it's you know, martial arts buffet, you know, just get in all you can, you know, why not? There's no reason not to.
Oh, and there's another young man in Albuquerque that I've become friends with, and he does Silat. So when I get to New Mexico, I'm sort of looking forward to learning some things about weapons from him and all that. I got to say, it's really fun. I did just a little bit of the sticks, like the Esgrima and what's some of the other ones called, but it's so fun, you know. If I could keep from, you know, banging myself in the head, it's a blast, you know. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah. But. Well, that's part of the fun. I mean, that's why we do it. It's no fun if you don't, you know, hit yourself or hit the furniture or those sort of things. So yeah, I can definitely relate to that. And it's kind of interesting that you mentioned that, because I have a buddy that teaches a lot, and so I've been meaning to stop by his school as well and get a little bit of that and look into some Filipino martial arts, the Kali and the Eskrima and that sort of thing too. So there's so many things, like it's hard to just, you know, settle. There's not enough hours in the day to train everything. So
yeah, at least we could see them, you know. But well, we were in Hawaii on Maui for 2 years, and you know, there's a lot of martial arts. I was, you know, and I think that's fascinating that pretty much every culture that I've seen has some form of martial art, right?
Yeah, there's, you know, it gets around everywhere, and there's, you'll find a school for something just anywhere you go, if not, you know, multiple schools. So I think we're really blessed that we have so much to choose from, and you know, and then now with technology and the internet and stuff, we can get exposed to even so much more than just, oh well, you know, this is, you know, these are the schools that are, you know, within the, you know, 10-20 miles of my house. It's like, now we can train with people all over the world, and you know, still get a, there are some people that may argue that, oh well, you know, there's only so much you can get from, you know, online and video and stuff like that, and you know, you could kind of go back and forth about the merits of online training and things like that. But, I'm in the camp of there's nothing that beats in person, but there's definitely a lot that you can get gain from you know, online or remote training if you have balance and you have the right teachers, and you know, there's a lot that you can get out, you can get out of it. So I don't just dismiss it or, you know, right off the bat. So
yeah, so it's been really fun talking to you. I appreciate what you're doing, and I'm looking forward to continuing. Now, it has changed a little bit, you know. There was this old motivational speaker, some people laughed, Zig Ziglar, but he would tell this story about that we, with our goals, we have to be like a homing missile. And so, you know, you're heading towards that target, and if the target moves, you move towards the target, you know? So I've learned from so many people. I say, oh, I'm pursuing black belt, and I know I'm not a black belt, so I don't fully know what it means. But I know that it's the spirit of you keep going, you know, and you keep moving. And it's really ultimately not important if I get a black belt, but it's important if I'm healthy and that I'm really helping to promote the arts, you know, and that I keep moving forward and I'm encouraging other people to move forward.
Yeah, no, that's what it's all about. I mean, to be a black belt is the black belt is the white belt that didn't quit. So, you keep moving forward, you keep spreading the art, and that is just as much a part of the art as as doing the kicks and the punches and the chokes and the wrist locks and all of those things. There's the physical side, there's the mental side, there's the emotional side. That's all important and all, you know, worthwhile. So I really want
to encourage young women to get into martial arts more and more. There's one page, you know, you're familiar with, International Kempo Women's Symposium. Did I get that right? I know they recently changed their name, but there's a lot of great women martial artists all across the world, you know. And you don't have to be in Kempo to come join that page. And you could be a man, too. I mean, it's open to everyone. But it's particularly there to encourage women. And I think in our culture now, especially in the United States, you know, I really encourage women, young and old, to learn some self-defense, you know. And some people, you know, I think MMA is great, you know, but it gave some people the idea that this is about being aggressive. It's not. It's really, it's the opposite of that, from what I learned from all these wonderful examples, is we do everything we can to avoid, right? But we're prepared. There's another quote that I love that, I mean, some people say Bruce Lee said it, but I'm going to guess that it's older, that it's better to be the gardener quote, where, which way is it, that it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war, you know? Mm-hmm. So being prepared and then hope that we never have to use it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's something that I would certainly like to see more of, is the Budo, the martial way, the Miyagi way of living, with the rise of MMA. A lot of that, you know, dignity and respect and those good core values that you get from the martial art, a lot of that has gotten stripped away from in the MMA side, and it's more interested in the spectacle and you know, these big characters, and they, you know, they're fighting and cussing and doing all these horrible things, and it's like that's not what martial arts is about. And I'm of the mind that it should, you know, it shouldn't be, you know, mixed martial arts. It should be more a combat sport, or I think we need to have a different name for it. But yeah, having those core values is, I think we would be better off if we got more into that. And, you know, it's great if I can, you know, choke somebody out, but if I don't have to choke somebody out because I'm peaceful and we can have a good, you know, dialogue, I would much prefer that than, you know, giving a elbow to somebody's orbital socket.
So. You know, this is funny, but we actually ran into John Bones Jones in a grocery store.
Oh,
and
goodness.
Had a short little conversation with him, and he said he wished he had done more martial arts, you know. So, I mean, he recognized that difference and appreciated it, you know. I got a couple funny stories for you, if you want to hear a funny story.
Oh, of course. I love it.
So I'm like all into Holly Holmes, you know, and she's reaching, you know, towards the end of her career, if she hasn't already done her last fight. But she had just beat Ronda Rousey, you know, and I was just like, with a room full of people, I was just beside myself, you know, because it's like.
Yeah, I remember watching that fight.
It was like up there with watching the Cubs finally win the World Series, you know. So I'm like walking at the mall, and my friend says, hey, they got Holly Holmes over there. And I thought they had a clothing line or something. She had on clothes. He goes, no, there's Holly right there. So I've met like famous people. I mean, I met Stevie Wonder. I met Whitney Houston, you know, because I was in radio in L.A. area for a long time and in the record business and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I'm like, oh, hi, it's nice to meet you. You know, hi, Whitney, you know, like I'm all. But when it comes to sports figures, that's a different story. So I see Holly. All of a sudden, I'm like 7 years old, you know. And I start running across the street to where she's at. And it's like I'm in slow motion. And as I'm getting across the street, my arms go in the air. And I'm like, Holly. Like, I get over there. And she sees me. And, of course, she's thinking, who's this crazy woman running at me? And she turned and bladed herself. I kid you not. And I got there and I stopped. And then I said, you'd think I would go, oh, my gosh, Holly, you brought women's sports ahead, you know, 50 years, all these things. And I stood there like a dope, and I said, your hair is so pretty. And she stuck her hand out to shake my head, and she said, what's your name? Like I was, you know, not altogether. And I said, Lori. So I like totally lost my cool, you know. Oh. She was so nice to me. Yeah.
No, I can definitely relate to that. I have a similar story about that with Cynthia Rothrock. I'm going to I can tell you the story offline because I kind of want to save it for when I get her on the show. I'm feverishly trying to get her on the show, but yeah, I can I definitely had a similar similar response to meeting her. So.
Yeah, I used to think I was cool when I was in the record industry, but I've lost any cool I might have had, imaginary or not. It's like, I'm just a dope now, you know? I'm just, all right.
Yeah,
it is
no,
what it is. You know?
I've met a few celebrities and definitely at a loss for words and, you know, even doing this show now, some of the people that I've gotten to talk to have already... It's been like, I don't know what to say. So it's easy to get kind of starstruck. So,
So
we have to mention Benny Urquidez since we brought him up at the top of the show. So, go ahead and share your experiences with the great Benny the Jet.
You know, he's an intense person in a good way. Like, he just looks at you if you go up to talk to him, and he just can look right through you. I imagine that it probably comes from being that great of a fighter. You know, you can really read people, right? But he cares about the people that he's talking to. That's a really neat thing about him. He's like, you know, he looks right at you and listens intently, and he's never looking over your shoulder. I spent a lot of time in California and Hollywood, and everybody's always looking over your shoulder to see who's more important than you are, you know. And that's one of the things that's really impressed me about him. And his wife, too, she's just like Sarah Eaglewoman, you know, and they both, of course, have Native American backgrounds. And they just they're. At this point in their lives, I think they just want to give to people. And you know that documentary about him is coming out. And I'm sure you're going to be talking to Sensei Benny, you know, not too long from now.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I just feel like it's important the more I've been around people is to point out the people who are the real deal. And I feel that way about Mr. Conan and Mr. Sepulveda as well, you know. And so it's just good to have these great examples, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can, definitely agree with that. You know, a good teacher, a good person, a good listener will, propel you, you know, so much more than a bad instructor or a bad, you know, person. Unfortunately, you know, there's the bad with the good. Hopefully we can align ourselves with the good and become better ourselves and help, you know, be that good influence, good inspiration for the next, you know, next person. So.
And you know what, if you're in a situation where you're really not sure, you know what, go check out some other schools, you know, go see what it's like in different schools, and just make sure you're in the right spot.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's a message that maybe doesn't get out out as much as maybe it should, is that, yeah, don't be afraid to, you know, if you're at a school and you maybe you're not happy with everything that they've got going on, you know, it's okay to go to a different school or go to a different style or, you know, find a different instructor, and you don't have to be stuck with, you know, with the one that brought you, you know. It's definitely nice to be loyal to a teacher or school or everything, but if they're not meeting your needs, then you have to go somewhere else. And regardless of what their pedigree is, unfortunately, you know, people are still people, regardless of their rank or their lineage. There are some bad apples out there. There are some people that maybe they're not bad, but maybe they're just on the kind of the wrong path. And it's okay to say, you know what, I need to go somewhere else, or I need to find something else. And I think that should get out there a little bit more. And it's not quitting.
I'm loyal to a fault, you know. But yeah, there comes a point where loyal is not always the best thing for you. Yeah.
Exactly. So I like that. All right. So we're going to go ahead and move into our little lightning round here. So I got a few questions for you, and then we'll kind of go to wrapping up. First one being, do you have a favorite technique?
Ooh, you know, I like leaping crane. I don't know. I just about that move. It's really fun to me.
Very nice. That's a good one. I feel like maybe the last couple of guests that I had picked that one. So it's definitely one of the popular ones, and falls into what I call my Kenpo All-Star techniques, because I've trained in a couple of different versions of Kenpo, and techniques like leaping crane, five swords, thundering hammers seem to exist in all the different versions of Kenpo that are out there. So that's definitely a good one. All right. Next one. Do you have a favorite form and or set?
Oh boy. I haven't advanced that far. I've had, you know, I'm a second degree orange belt, by the way. I should have been a purple belt 7 years ago, but you know, things happen.
I've been there.
I like watching form five. I mean, it's beautiful.
Oh, that's a good one.
Watch. Yeah. I go and I like to watch the black belts a lot. So
very nice. I like it. That's a good one. Right. Do you have a favorite weapon?
Favorite weapon? Me? No.
that counts. That's.
I don't know if I like the sticks or the bow staff more yet. So when I have a little more experience, I think the sticks, maybe because for my size, it's more easier to handle.
I like it. I like it. That is, it's probably not my favorite. I'm probably more of a staff person. I like the sticks as well. Then the next question, if there's anyone that you could train with, living or dead, fictional or non-fictional, who would that be? Besides Ed Parker, since this is a Kenpo.
I'm going to train with Mr. Kevin Conan Bankins, which he's definitely one of my heroes. I'm looking into how I could work with Sensei Benny. I think that would be, I mean, I feel like one lesson would be life changing.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, for sure. Yeah. I like it. So now we are at our point for shameless self-promotion. So you can, this is your time to plug anything you like, or anything that maybe we didn't bring up that you wanted to get out there. Now is your time to let it out, and you have the floor.
Well, I invite people to come and join me on my personal Facebook page. I used to have all kinds of different pages, but in recent years, it's like, I'm just being me, you know, and I'm making friends with people still all over the world. I've done that before in different areas. Like I had a site called Everyday Opera, which was opera, food, wine, and travel. It's still out there. People from all over the world are on that. But, you know, I'm kind of doing everyday life with Lori Lewis. You can find me on Facebook, and I'm trying to put up a lot of inspirational videos. And like one of my favorites recently was a gentleman who had just turned 65, and he was running a very famous race that was over 100 miles. What was that called? But anyway, it was like his 17th year in a row that he ran it, you know, and I love looking for stories like that. It's inspiring to me. So really, that's my goal, is to share my own story, both the highs and lows, you know, and that's why, honestly, today is the first time I mentioned exactly what I'm dealing with. So I did that on your program, and you're doing a great thing, and I just hope that it continues. I know it'll continue to grow, you know, and you're going to, you know, get to spread the arts everywhere to people, and I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I thank you for taking the time to share your story. You know, like I mentioned, I had been wanting to chat with you for a while now. So, you know, we'll definitely have to do this again, get more into your journey and kind of your observations as you're coming up. So one of the things that I wanted to get with this is getting all the different perspectives, and not just, we got all the 10th degree black belts. It's like, don't get me wrong. I love talking to the OGs and all those first gens and those high up and stuff. But I want to get the stories of everybody else in between, because they aren't who they are without the rest of us. And I love hearing the stories. I love meeting people and, you know, finding out what keeps them going, and it also gives me inspiration. You know, as much as I love all this, there are some days I don't want to get off the couch, and you know, doing long form 3 does not appeal to me today. And getting the inspiration really helps out. So, but yeah, I love the stories. I thank you again for being on, and we'll definitely have to do this again. And yeah, if there is anything, I will definitely share the links and stuff on the show notes. I'm trying to get better at that. So, we'll stay in touch, and I thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to My Empty Hands. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend. If you didn't enjoy it, please share it with an enemy. If you'd like to be a guest, or if you would like to recommend a guest for the show, please email me at podcast@talkingkenpo.com. Thank you.